powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
The president is still receiving a lot of flack from his press conference yesterday with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Both Democrats and Republicans have criticized President Trump. But Senator Rand Paul has one question for all of us.
I think we need to take a step back and ask ourselves, is it good to have conversation with your adversaries? Is it good to have open lines of communications with Russia? You know, in the worst part of the Cold War, probably during the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy had a direct line to Khrushchev. We had an ambassador in Russia. We had an ambassador in Russia even during the years of Stalin. So I think having open lines of communication is very important for avoiding war. And I think that's what I would see this meeting as, is renewing engagement and renewing open lines of conversation.
The corporate owners of the Mandalay Bay Casino filed a suit against the victims of last year's Las Vegas concert mass shooting, claiming it had no liability for the massacre. That's according to a published report yesterday. MGM International went to court yesterday and said the claims against the hotel giant must be dismissed. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. If you're an entrepreneur, a small business owner, or perhaps want to be one for the first time, listen up. Seeking non-doctor entrepreneurs to operate a niche medical clinic for erectile dysfunction with no needles, no medication, and no surgery. I tried it out myself to see if it works. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. It's an all-cash business. No insurance. The income potential is enormous. You need $100,000 liquid to get started. Go to medicalpartnership.info. That's medicalpartnership.info. Medicalpartnership.info.
As school is right around the corner for many folks, we have to wonder what can we do to help our child to best succeed, whether that's their first year in high school or their first year in middle school. Well, David Allen is author of a new book titled Getting Things Done for Teens, Take Control of Your Life in a Distracting World. David has that one thing to help kids succeed in life.
See, checklists are what kids need like crazy. What do I need before I go off to soccer? What do I need to do before I go off to camp? What do I need to do before I do X, Y, and Z? I mean, come on, kids have been trained and could be trained to do this right away. It just don't lose the opportunity to have them start to build a system. Next time they go to camp, you know, what are the things they want to take? I've got 75 things on my travel checklist, you know, and I forgot all of them once.
I also had a chance to ask David about stress and the stress that we face as a kid. Is it something that more we just hear about more, or is there actually more stress on kids these days?
I think both. I think there's both more stress, and it's also more public and more obvious, you know, that's going on given all the, you know, publicity and all the stuff that's going on. But come on, you know, there was a bulletin board in our laundromat, and you know, I would thumb through the yellow pages in my phone book, you know, to distract myself from time to time, and I would waste 2 hours at night on the phone with my girlfriend when I was 15. And whether she liked me or not, or whether anybody in school liked me or not, those were always issues. But now you get a not like on your Facebook from three people. Oh, my God, your life is just turned upside down.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! This is Bastille Day, at least it is in France, a bit like our 4th of July. We'll talk about that. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, Josh?
Yes, this Saturday is Bastille Day, which President Trump observed in Paris last year, and it became his inspiration to have a military parade in Washington, D.C., which is scheduled to take place on Veterans Day this year, Sunday, November 11th.
Thanks, Josh. Glad you brought that up. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby looks like he wants to go fly somewhere. We'll hear from him as he shares some warrant wisdom. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking confused. Skip, what's up?
Well, I can tell you, but I'm confused. I really don't know. I was born confused, and not a whole lot's changed since then. But, hey, I'm just busy growing my tomatoes. My garden's great. My tomatoes are, like, almost armpit high now, and I'm really I'm excited about that.
If you like tomatoes, and I do, that's a good sign.
Well, I will bring some in along with some zucchini.
Woo! You talked me into it, you sweet talker. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the Colonel. I'm going to suggest that America was helped by France in our Revolutionary War, but we didn't help them in return exactly, or maybe we did. You'll have to listen to find out. Paul Trapper Kane belongs to CAV, the Canadian Army Veterans Group. He's into motorcycles. We're going to talk about what it's like being a Canadian vet. Then Shannon Huff from Concerned Veterans for America will join us to discuss the VA, its strengths and weaknesses. And combat veteran Michael Williams will rejoin us. He recently completed the Reaver Foundation Warrior Reconnect Week, and he's had some healing.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We really do welcome your input to the show. Do send me your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or you can do it on Facebook. Now it's time for news and comment by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. What's first, Josh?
Troops in the Mideast are prepared to keep a vital crude oil transit lane open after Iranian officials threatened to block it over the threat of new sanctions. Iran's Revolutionary Guards said that the country would prevent any oil from being exported through the Strait of Hormuz, a shipping lane between Iran and Oman. About 30% of all seaborne traded crude oil and other liquids are carried through the strait every year. The U.S. military and its partners in the region are prepared to respond if needed. Navy Captain Bill Urban, a spokesman for U.S. Central Command, said, quote, "Together, we stand ready to ensure the freedom of navigation and the free flow of commerce wherever international law allows," end quote. There are currently thousands of U.S. troops in the region, including about 2,200 Marines and sailors with the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit aboard the amphibious assault ship Iwo Jima. Their mission includes preserving the free flow of commerce. Iran's threat to block the Strait of Hormuz follows a State Department announcement that any company that buys crude oil from that country must cut those exports by November. That was earlier than some expected, following President Trump's decision to pull out of the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. Esmail Kausari, deputy commander of the Sarola Revolutionary Guards based in Tehran, said that if Iran's oil exports are prevented, we will not give permission for oil to be exported to the world through the Strait of Hormuz.
I'm glad we're out of the horrible Iran deal, and I'm glad that we're no longer playing nice with this evil nation. Actually, it's the nation's leadership that's evil, not the people.
President Xi Jinping told Defense Secretary James Mattis he wouldn't give up any territory that China considers its own, an unusually blunt warning as security disputes simmer beneath an escalating trade battle. Jinping made his remarks while meeting Mattis in Beijing, the first such visit by a U.S. defense chief in more than 4 years. The comments appeared to be a reference to U.S. complaints about Chinese military deployments in the disputed South China Sea, and a push by American lawmakers to expand ties with the democratically run island of Taiwan, which Beijing considers a Chinese province. According to the official Xinhua news agency, Xi said, quote, "Our stance is steadfast and clear-cut when it comes to China's sovereignty and territorial integrity. We cannot lose 1 inch of territory passed down by our ancestors. Meanwhile, We want nothing from others. End quote. In recent months, the Defense Department has branded China a strategic competitor and rescinded an invitation to join the annual International RIMPAC military exercises that recently began near Hawaii. President Xi Jinping can't afford to look weak after the ruling Communist Party repealed presidential term limits in March, and he's pledged to go blow for blow on trade. He has warned against efforts to widen divisions with Taiwan, and in April presided over China's largest ever naval review in a display of its growing military reach.
China is now a major challenge to our nation and the world. We need a firm leader who knows how to deal with selfish people, and we have one. Do keep him in prayer.
A couple of weeks ago, Maxine Waters, a Democrat leader in Congress, openly called for people to harass Republicans while they are eating dinner with their families, and to tell them they aren't welcome anywhere. Additionally, the Department of Homeland Security recently sent a memo to its employees warning of increased threats being made against employees and provided additional safety precautions that should be taken. As if that isn't enough, now Sarah Sanders, the White House press secretary, will have Secret Service protection because of the threats and harassment she has been the target of. It appears DHS now considers this rising hostility a legitimate domestic threat.
Troops, political violence is war against our nation of law, against our Constitution. We don't have to agree with others. Diversity of ideas is one of the strengths of our nation. Do note that name callers are usually identifying in others the major weaknesses that they themselves possess. Let's eliminate name calling, then we can discuss ideas.
During World War I, women, nicknamed the Hello Girls, worked on telephone switchboards at military outposts, quickly connecting and communicating with their French counterparts. They fought for decades to have their service recognized with veteran status and benefits. Carolyn Timble, granddaughter of Grace Banker, chief operator of the Hello Girls, said their story was tucked away for 100 years, and to think that they might be honored in 2018 with a Congressional Gold Medal for their service to our country is overwhelming. The Hello Girls were thrust into war when the U.S. realized it was unprepared to fight a technologically modern conflict overseas, and called on AT&T to provide equipment and trained personnel to fill the Army Signal Corps in France. American troops were struggling, unable to communicate in French with their counterparts, and also failing to connect calls rapidly. On average, it took a male operator 60 seconds to make a connection, unacceptably slow for operations calls between command outposts and the front lines. General John Pershing, head of the American Expeditionary Forces in 1917, understood the critical role telephones would play on the battlefield, and loaded telephone operating equipment with him as he sailed for Europe. A few months later, he wrote the War Department requesting a force of women telephone operators who were able to make connections in about 10 seconds. Over 7,000 women applied, but just 223 were selected. Operators had to be bilingual in English and French. The women took the Army oath and were ranked. They were the first women to serve as soldiers in non-medical roles. The first contingent of women operators began their duties in France on 24 March 1918, under constant German bombing. Their arrival nearly tripled telephone call capacity in France, from 13,000 calls per day to 36,000. When the war ended on 11 November 1918, the female operators had connected about 26 million calls for the American Expeditionary Forces. On 30 April 1919, Pershing wrote in general orders, quote, "The part played by women in winning the war has been an important one," end quote.
I hope that these brave ladies will be recognized by Congress and our nation this year, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll learn about Canadian veterans with Trapper Cain. Eddie's troops, take a break. LuLaRoe is comfortable, affordable fashion for women, men, and kids. Sold by tens of thousands of small business owners across the U.S., including many military families. Founded by entrepreneurs seeking a career that allows more freedom to be at home with their families, LuLaRoe is sold at in-home pop-up parties and on social media VIP pages. Check out a sampling of the unique prints and patterns in dresses, tops, leggings, and skirts at LuLaRoe.com and follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. Women should never walk alone in parks, parking garages, or other secluded areas. Rapists, murderers, and robbers look for the lone walker as it enhances their chance of success. Serial rapists need only one woman and will let two women pass on by. So bring a friend along for your walk. And don't forget to stay alert as you walk. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
Ike was such a sweet, lovable animal, and people would want to pet him, and they'd come up, and they'd get close to him, and it would be this instant, oh! My dad didn't want to touch him. It's like, ooh, get the stinky dog away from me.
Even after we'd give her a bath, she would still stink.
Very stinky, both bad breath and bad gas.
I asked the vet, and he said, some dogs are just stinky.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
The ingredients convinced me that it was definitely worth trying. After about a week, he started smelling normal. My husband and I were really kind of astonished.
Dynavite is nutrition.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from its national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor in U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. It's quite likely that we would not have won our war for independence from the British monarchy if it weren't for some military help from France. The French monarchy was clearly not in favor of rule by the people, but they were the eternal enemies of England, as both fought to be the dominant power in Europe, so they gladly helped we colonists defeat their enemy. And with their help, you know, we prevailed. Earlier this month, we celebrated Independence Day. On 4 July 1776, our Congress passed our Declaration of Independence. This was and is our nation's birth certificate. Once the Revolutionary War was over, our Congress wrote and passed our Constitution in 1787. The first amendments to the Constitution, called the Bill of Rights, were approved in 1789. And that's not all that happened in 1789. You see, the French got more than they were expecting by helping us. Our example of throwing off ruthless dictators was noticed by people all over Europe, especially in France. Indeed, this is Bastille Day weekend, and here's some background. Bastille Day is a holiday celebrating the storming of the Bastille, a military fortress and prison in Paris, on 14 July 1789, in a violent uprising that helped usher in the French Revolution. Besides holding gunpowder and other supplies valuable to the revolutionaries, the Bastille also symbolized the callous tyranny of the French monarchy, especially King Louis XVI and his queen, Marie Antoinette. As a prison, it had held political dissidents, such as the writer and philosopher Voltaire, many of whom were locked away without a trial by order of the king. In 1789, however, it was scheduled for demolition and to be replaced by a public square. Moreover, it was down to just 7 prisoners. The infamous Marquis de Sade, from whom the term sadist is derived, had likewise been incarcerated there, but he was removed earlier that summer. Despite inheriting tremendous debts from his predecessor, Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette continued to spend extravagantly, such as helping our American colonies win independence from the British. By the late 1780s, France's government stood on the brink of economic disaster. And to make things worse, widespread crop failures in 1788 brought about a nationwide famine. Bread prices rose so high that at their peak, the average worker spent 88% of his wage just on bread. Unemployment was likewise a problem, which the populace blamed in part on the newly reduced customs duties between France and Britain. Following a harsh winter, violent food riots began breaking out across France at bakeries, granaries, and other food storage facilities. In the aftermath of the storming of the Bastille, the prison fortress was systematically dismantled until almost nothing remained of it. A de facto prisoner from October 1789 onward, Louis XVI was sent to the guillotine a few years later, and Marie Antoinette's beheading followed shortly thereafter. Much like the 4th of July in America, Bastille Day is a public holiday in France, celebrated by nationwide festivities, including fireworks, parades, and parties. Attendees will see France's tricolor flag, hear the French motto, Liberté, Égalité, Fraternité, Liberty, Equality, and Fraternity, and break into singing La Marseillaise, all popular songs of France that had their origins in the heady days of the French Revolution. In one of the world's oldest annual military parades, French troops have marched each year since Bastille Day of 1880 along the Champs-Élysées in Paris before French government officials and world leaders. Since then, France has seen continual war and revolution, kings and dictators, including the famous Napoleon Bonaparte. They were a Catholic nation for a while. France was captured by Germany twice in the last 100 years and is presently a part of the European Union. Our nation began not with a bunch of rioters in the streets, but as a nation under a Continental Congress. We are a constitutional republic, not a democracy. Our Constitution makes us a nation of law, not subject to the whim of the majority, much less a king or dictator. We've had no presidents who were not elected in accordance with our Constitution. And by the way, the measure of free nation is not that the leader is elected by the people. The measure is the passing of power from the president in power to his successor, even if the successor is not someone he likes. The peaceful succession of power is rare in the world today. In the about 200 nations in the world today, fewer than a quarter of them have regularly peaceful succession. And I don't count a dictator passing reins to his chosen successor, like in China or Cuba. Our nation began in an extraordinary way, and it remains the most extraordinary nation in the world today. Despite all the people who point out our shortcomings, you'll notice that anybody who wants to leave can and darn few do. And lots of people want to come here even illegally. We need to see how wonderfully unique our nation is and be proud of it while continuing to work on our weaknesses. And during this election year, troops, that means paying close attention to candidates who want your vote and supporting only those you are sure will support and defend our Constitution as we did when we were in uniform. We want to be America, not France. God bless America. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Colonel, I'm not sure how many people realize that I am a Coast Guard reservist. And I'm out on my 2 weeks of active duty for the next couple weeks. Going to be up at Naval Station Great Lakes, which is known as the quarterdeck of the Navy, primarily because every single enlisted person in the Navy goes through Great Lakes Naval Base for their basic training. I'm on loan by the Coast Guard to the Selective Service System. Now, I always have people tell me, you mean the Secret Service System, right? No. The Selective Service System. The Selective Service is that very small federal agency that's in charge of the draft and what we would do if we had a national recall. On upcoming shows, I'm going to have an interview with the State Director from Illinois for the Selective Service, Colonel Tony Libri, who's retired from the U.S. Army. And he's going to be talking a little bit about what you can do if you wanted to become a local board member with the Selective Service. I'll also be talking with the operations manager for the region of Selective Service and also a retired major from the U.S. Army. And she's going to tell us a little bit more about registration and why men, especially between 18 and 25, have to register with the Selective Service. Lastly, we're going to be talking with a retired Air Force colonel who is the director for Region 1 for the Selective Service. It gives a little bit more overview of why the Selective Service is even in existence today. So I have some very interesting, fun interviews coming up in future shows. I hope you'll come back and you join me. And this is going to be a little short this week, simply because I got to get back to duty. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I really appreciate you. You got some great comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we're going to learn about CAV, a Canadian Army Veterans Group, and their motorcycle division. Then it's time to discuss what's happening in our VA with Shannon Huff from Concerned Veterans for America. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, we're doing pull-ups. Let's do 25, then stand at ease.
Spartan Ash holds a special place in its heart for Honor and Remember, and we're proud to sponsor Run for the Fallen as another way to honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice and service to our country. Run for the Fallen is a 6,000-mile run taking place from April 7th to August 5th.
Each day, a team of runners will set out, stopping 1 mile at a time to read the name of a fallen soldier out loud.
To join the Run for the Fallen as a volunteer or to show your support, visit runforthefallen.org.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
USA Radio News.
Today, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan held his weekly press conference. The speaker was asked about President Trump's news conference with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
I understand the desire and the need to have good relations. That's perfectly reasonable. But Russia is a menacing government that does not share our interests and it does not share our values. And I think that should be made very, very clear.
President Trump sat down with Fox News host Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson. With Carlson, one thing he addressed was the border problem.
The Democrats want open borders, which is basically saying we want open borders, we want crime.
Why do you think they want that?
Maybe it's a political philosophy that they grew up with. Maybe they learned it at school. Maybe they're fools. I don't know.
And finally, former President Obama addressed global inequality today by saying he's surprised by how rich he's become over the years. The president was speaking in South Africa. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet a veteran from up north. No, I don't mean the North Pole. It's not Santa Claus. No, Paul Trapper Kane is a Canadian vet, and he's a member of CAV and their motorcycle unit. What's CAV? I'm going to let Trapper tell you. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Trapper.
A great pleasure and a great honor to be here, brother.
Trapper, you've had a very, shall we say, full career. You've done all kinds of things while in uniform. Start by talking to us about why you joined the military and the kinds of things you did. Talk us through your career.
When I was a young fellow, like most of us in the world, sadly, I was surrounded by veterans, my family, my school teachers, the police, everybody in town, everybody I ran into. So I was always curious what made them the way they were. And in fact, my own family, one branch of it, they literally won the war and won the peace. They had a great life after the war on my father's side. But on my mother's side, it wasn't so easy for them. They won the war, but they lost the peace. And I always wondered what they'd gone through. And in the Canadian Army, they assaulted Normandy Beachhead, as did everybody in the Allied forces. And their regiment, which, of course, comes from small towns and villages in Nova Scotia, in their case, all those guys that grew up together went to war, and they were mauled by the 12th SS. 240 of them were shot to death as prisoners of war. Two uncles were POWs. One was shot dead by a sniper outside of Caen. So as a kid growing up, I wanted to understand what they went through, and I realized early the only way for me to understand truly what they went through was to wear the uniform myself. So I did that, and proudly so.
Okay, tell us about your service. Where did you join? What did you do? Where did you serve?
I was in the infantry. I humped a rifle in a rucksack with combat boots for my career. I joined the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry, which is an Army of the West, we call it, Western Canada. Those folks where I was posted were 3rd Battalion PPCLI were in Work Point Barracks, which is British Columbia. So we're right on the ocean, right next to our Naval Fleet West, they called it, and mountains. So we specialized in mountain warfare. We specialized in amphibious operations. And that opened up the door to us training with the United States Marine Corps, working with Rangers, doing all sorts of special ops. I went into the airborne role after an infantry for a decade as an airborne soldier, again, serving around the world. A lot of Northern Canada Arctic operations, jungle warfare in Australia, and everything in between. It was a great life. I sure miss it.
You know, it's amazing how broad the climates are, aren't they? When you talk about the Canadian North and jungles and deserts and stuff like that, if you just know how to do one thing, you're not very flexible, are you?
Yeah, it's kind of the thing, especially like I learned in mountain warfare, where we lived, we had mountains, but you don't expect them to be around the world, but 60% of the planet has mountainous terrain. So for military to operate successfully, you have to have mountain warfare instructors, which I did for years, and that allowed me to climb in Italy and France and all over the world, especially in Canada. We had incredible mountain experiences there. But as an infantry soldier, Canada, because of our northern terrain, not only geographically do we have Arctic to our north, but for 11 months of the year, a lot of Canada is snowed in. So in Canada, we really had to emphasize winter warfare skills and literally living under canvas when it's 70, 80 below zero. So that, to the jungles of Australia and all around the world with United Nations and NATO, our forces, they get pretty flexible, but it's certainly a young man's game for sure.
It is that for sure. And you made the point that you served a lot of different places, not just with Canadian forces. You talked about working with U.S. forces. You also talked about UN and those kind of things. Talk about those kind of deployments and who you served with and what kind of things you did.
In Canada, we're really lucky in that our great neighbors just to the south of us have always had our backs. You folks have always had our backs. And from the beginning of our country, we had a little rough patch there in the 1700s, of course. But when things got sorted out politically and everybody found their own path, since our very beginnings as a country, you folks have been proud to serve with us and us beside you. As an infantry soldier in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s, up until the 2000s with my service, I work with as a special forces fellow with an airborne guy, and I was regimental sniper sergeant, and I did mount warfare instructing and all that good stuff. I work quite a bit with your Ranger battalions, your 2nd Battalion, your 3rd Battalion. The Marine Corps, we did a lot of stuff. I had the pleasure of being with 17-mile Marine Assault Unit up to Anchitka, 60 miles off the USS coast. Lots of stuff in Europe, up in Senelager in the north of Germany, working with folks in armored training with infantry. Army cooperation, helicopters, you folks are nice enough to have an incredible air arm, Army and Air Force. We work with both of them, not only take us into theater, but getting us home again. Work with the Brits, British Army, of course, with our Canadian connection. Mountain warfare in particular, we climbed all through Wales and England before we went to Europe at one point. Work with the French commandos, work with the Germans. The Canadians, we have a long list of allies and folks that have always helped us, and we're always there for them. So I've been very fortunate, as most soldiers, if you're in long enough, you get to work with the best of the best. And by God, working with those American troops over the years, it was a great part of my life for sure.
You know, I believe exactly what you're saying. I didn't experience everything you did, but I experienced a lot of it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the military career of Paul Trapper Kane. Okay, Paul, so you came to the end of your career. You didn't stop living. You're obviously still alive. And one of the things you're involved with is CAF. Talk to us about CAF. What is it?
I, like every soldier, you know, I wanted to do my best, and unfortunately, gravity reached out, and you can bend some laws, as it turns out, but you can't bend or break the law of gravity, and I was a paratrooper one day too long. I was in a mid-air collision with an unconscious jumper. Our parachutes fouled. We went thundering in. I'll always remember the jump master in training years ago saying, "Boys, if anything goes horribly wrong, relax. You've got the rest of your lives to decide what to do," and that day, things went horribly wrong. By the time I got him cut away, his parachute, it sustained his life. Mine was just a partial reserve, and what was left of my main takes 240 feet for a reserve to deploy, and I got cut away clear of him at 180 feet. I shattered both ankles. I had 40 fractures on my right tib platform, drove my femur into my bowel, burst fracture of the 4th lumbar, compression of the 5th, shattered every tooth in my tiny little head. I tease people saying, luckily I landed on my head or I could have been seriously hurt, but 2 years in hospital, 19 surgeries, I had to learn how to walk again, and a big tool in my rehabilitation was motorcycles. I had to qualify to transfer from the bed to a wheelchair, and that would give me my first 48-hour pass. So I did what any good soldier does. I trained and practiced to go from my bed to a wheelchair. I had my friends bring my motorcycle downstairs, and for my first 48-hour pass, I kind of cheated. I got on the motorcycle, and I rode to Sarasota, Florida from Canada. I was gone for 2 weeks, and my therapy on motorcycles began at that point until one day I found a soldier who, same as me, was drawn to motorcycles, but he was suffering, in his case, from the war in Bosnia. And I knew when I looked at his eyes in a parking lot that I was in his position 10 years before and that I could help him.
So I created the CAV organization, cresting, identity, mission, ethos, constitution, the rules to follow, because as you know, sometimes motorcyclists are looked at in a negative light, and I knew as a veteran we couldn't let that happen. We were national in our first month, and as the years have gone on, 15 years now, I was honored to be decorated by our Governor General at Rideau Hall in Ottawa last year. We raised over $7 million for charity in over 84 cities across Canada, hundreds of incredible acts that I've had little part to play in just witnessing what they do, but my people, veterans on motorcycles, those who support them, they humble me every day with incredible great acts of courage and charitable works and supporting our veterans and their community. It's been incredibly humbling to watch.
Wow. What an amazing thing. It sounds like, Trapper, you're not somebody who gives up. Opportunity knocked and you jumped on it. That's how to live a fun life, regardless of which parts of your limbs aren't working like you want them to, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Adopt and overcome. And if you can keep smiling, you got to do that too.
Well, you're certainly not going to be successful if you decided you're a failure.
Absolutely.
So looking forward, looking for opportunity and seizing it. So how big is CAV? How do you measure it? Do you have chapters? Do you have groups you help? Do you have members? How does it work?
What we did was, because of the old motorcycle world, the chapters and clubs and the influence that has had on the public's imagination, Hollywood or newspaper editors, we wanted to stay away from anything that implied controlling territory. So rather than name a CAV group after a city or a region, which would imply some kind of influence over that area, what we did was, as each group had a leader stand up and say, I'll take the ball forward, they would go to and canvas riders, veterans, and those that have always ridden with them to help them become civilians again and to help them pay tribute to the military on motorcycles. They would gather everybody in that town or city, and they would look at the ancestors who lived there before them. And every one of these little cities and communities around the world has had its soldiers go off and be sacrificed in horrible battles. And what they've done is they've chosen the name of a battle honor representing the sacrifices of the people where they live, and they've named their unit after that battle honor. It's just incredible to watch.
There's a lot more to learn about CAV, and Trapper's going to stay with us to share it. This is Colonel Danny Gilliman, Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job, fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots supports these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Pick up two bottles of Lico Chops. Get the third bottle free.
New improved Lico Chops with omega-3, omega-6, vitamin E.
And now, 6 extra direct-fed microbials.
Even better for the digestive tract and immune system.
Try Lico Chops. Buy two, get one free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. We're in the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're continuing our conversation with Paul Trapper Kane about CAV. And, Paul, you just got through telling us that each group picks the name of a battle honor earned by the local citizens to name their chapter, post, what do you call them?
We call them units. We follow the military kind of background on that. And these folks that name their unit after a local battle honor, very often they've actually had survivors, veterans of that very battle honor still living in their community. So you get motorcycles together, you get the veterans who fought at a battle that's now being paid tribute to, and these folks, they get on motorcycles in any weather, and it's just amazing what they do. We just, as you folks have done, suffered through a heavy combat. In one case in Afghanistan, we would bring our dead home from Afghanistan, and they'd land at Trenton. And every single time somebody came home, we were there, lined up, sometimes hundreds of people, certainly thousands of fellow citizens surrounding us. But we as motorcyclists, not to be seen by the public, but to be there for the family. And the 158 we brought back dead, I was there for 150 of those repatriations. These folks who've named themselves after battle honors going back to the beginning of our nation, they're still out there fighting a good fight. It's really something to see.
That's got to make you and everybody involved proud and feeling appreciated and part of the nation. Am I right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Danny, you know that throughout history, there's been many times the public, the civilians around us, don't understand us. They don't understand the language we speak. They understand when there's tragedy happening and casualties being taken. But in the quiet times, the military and the sacrifices of the military are often the first thing to be forgotten. To see people on motorcycles, you know, invested in recognizing sacrifice and service, bringing the public along with them. I've seen some incredible things in the last 15 years, and by golly, we got lots of great moments ahead of us, too, with help like yours in particular. Thank you for that, Denny.
Hey, it's an honor to do something like this. Now, your motorcycle units, I am sure you guys interact with motorcycle units all over the place, particularly American veteran motorcycle units. So I suspect
Absolutely. You
guys aren't tied to your neighborhood, your region of the country, that you go out and have fun with other people, and you're hanging out with people. There are motorcycle gangs, and then there are motorcycle good guys. And it sounds to me like you guys are the epitome of good guys.
It's a culture that a lot of veterans look towards when they come back from the military. And I'm talking 1919, 1920, when the guys came back from the first war, 46, 47, the 50s after Korea. When you're in a uniform and you've got independence of movement and freedom of choice because you're a war machine and you're a soldier, you're a warrior, your officers tell you what the mission is and you do what you have to do to get the job done. When you're a civilian, these motorcycles with the wind in your face literally blasting the cobwebs and sometimes even bad memories out of your head, when you're roaring down the road surrounded by hundreds if not thousands of motorcycles, I've had the honor since 1988 to ride in Rolling Thunder. I've done it 15 years now. Next year will be my 16th year. In Washington, D.C., and to be surrounded the first year with just over 2,000 bikes. The last time I was down, year before last, we were down and there were 800,000 bikes, veterans and those that support them. I've done a lot of riding with the Patriot Guard and Incredible Energy across America where they have an internet outreach where they tell veterans and those that love them, this is when a body's coming home, this is when a mission has to be supported, and they show up, and I've had the honor of being with them many times. Sturgis, South Dakota, getting together with veterans groups. It's on a motorcycle, and as a veteran, there really is no border between Canada and America. We're all brothers and sisters in the wind, literally.
I would be amazed if you could suggest that there was a difference, because our nations are, yeah, we're different, but, oh, we're very much alike.
Absolutely.
And when you put the veteran bond, the veteran tie there, and when you go back to history of all the things that our nation's militaries have done together, over the last couple of centuries.
Absolutely.
We are brothers and sisters.
And absolutely. You're right, brother. You're right.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing CAV with Paul Trapper Kane. Trapper, if there are some Canadian vets listening who aren't involved with CAV or American vets who'd like to know or get involved somehow with CAV brothers and sisters, how do they do that?
On the World Wide Web, of course, we have a website at www.thecav.ca, all lowercase letters. And I'm presently in an opportunity now where we're able to spread our wings and spread the word. They've got me lit up as an anchor to highlight legacies of our military veterans on the Veterans Channel. Through that website, which is www.veteranstelevision.com, which is big V, big T, of course, for veterantelevision.com, through those two avenues, they can find us. And every single weekend, if not every day, but certainly every weekend, there's something organized for those who ride motorcycles, whether they're veteran, those who support them, right around North America. And I've been doing it for 15 years. I've crossed Canada, North America on a motorcycle 19 times. And every single time I stop, I meet heroes. So we'll be riding with heroes forever, especially now with Veterans Channel and the outreach we're going to do through the CAV. The future is a great, bright place for sure. We invite everybody to join us.
You know, I have seen on occasion people who wanted to be with a motorcycle group but for age or health reasons couldn't ride a motorcycle, so they were along in a car or a truck. I presume that's acceptable because it's the attitude of your heart that makes the difference, not what you're riding?
Absolutely. We've always said in the CAV organization, like we've discussed, there's MCs, which are motorcycle clubs, and RCs, which are riding clubs. And a true three-piece patch MC, which is all about loyalty, brotherhood, and allegiance, much like we felt in the military, those guys, they make a committal that is much stronger than an RC, a riding club. And an RC, you generally don't even have to have a motorcycle. You have to follow the mission of those you support. And some of the hardest jobs we have in the motorcycle side of things is getting things organized at either end. It's great fun to ride from start to finish and enjoy the part in between on a motorcycle surrounded by great heroes. But you're right, the people off motorcycles, they do some of the hardest working. And as you know, fundraising, you know, you can raise a lot of money with a tin can on a motorcycle, but boy, some of these folks that don't ride, they've got great skills when it comes to fundraising and helping save lives and giving us the tools we need to do just that.
You know, it's amazing if when we're a team, if your heart's in the right place, it's good for everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's the way it should be, and something that society keeps getting away from, but veterans and those who support them, they keep bringing society back again.
You know, we took an oath to support and defend our nation, and the fact that we're not in uniform anymore, we're still supporting our nation because we know what it is we're standing up and fighting for, not just
Absolutely.
Some goofy idea.
Absolutely.
Trapper, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to your nation, to freedom in the world. I'm proud to call you my brother.
Danny, if you can pass the word to our American brothers and sisters in and out of uniform up here in Canada, we've always had your back. We know you've always had our back. We look forward to many more decades of fighting evil and keeping the bright lights on, moving forward, and good on you for doing what you do. You're reaching lives. You're saving lives, Danny. I love you. I'm proud of you. Well done.
Now it's time for our Stand Tall Troop Report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. Anthony Dries vividly recalls the 1991 Iraqi missile attack on U.S. military barracks in Saudi Arabia that claimed the lives of over 24 fellow service members, an event that would also put his life on a new course. Quote, "I hear it more than I feel it. Suddenly I'm looking up and I can see the sky," said Dries, an Army veteran who moved to Colorado in 1993 after serving in Operation Desert Storm. Quote, "The walls I was next to are gone. The roof is gone. There are sounds of people screaming and the sounds of people burning. I tried to move my legs and tried to put my shoe on, and it flopped in a direction it doesn't usually go." The former soldier would undergo 74 surgeries in the next 27 years, most of them in an attempt to save his shattered leg. Along the way, Dries also made room to focus on the needs of other veterans and eventually took the reins of a nonprofit that helps other groups provide things like service dog training, support for the children of fallen service members, and assistance for veterans trying to reenter civilian life. Quote, "I'm on a mission and I know what I'm doing," said Dries, wearing a Desert Storm Iraqi Freedom ball cap. "None of these things are a sprint, they're a marathon." While Dries now uses a wheelchair, he comes across as otherwise undeterred. Quote, "We're pounding the pavement, and I'm shamelessly smiling and dialing and kissing babies," he said. "This is veterans helping veterans." As the executive director of Veterans Passport to Hope, he helps raise money that gets distributed to other veterans-related nonprofits across Colorado through these grants. Dries' organization raised $100,000 last year for 19 nonprofits, and he's aiming at $150,000 this year, and aspires to reach $1 million in his annual disbursements 5 years from now. Patrick Wieland, board president for the nonprofit Dries now leads, first saw him at a fundraiser the organization held in Littleton in 2016. Dries, who now does motivational speaking, gave an inspirational talk at the event, and within a year was tapped as the executive director. He was largely sidelined from his new job while he dealt with increasing medical issues, culminating in the amputation of his leg at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio 4 months ago. Quote, "There's demons under there he fights every day. That's the hero," said Wieland. "He kind of gets a hold of you and you want to get fired up by him. He's a bit intoxicating." So stand tall, Tony Dries. Frontlines of Freedom and all of our nation's patriots salute you. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Shannon Huff from Concerned Veterans for America, discussing the VA. Then we'll talk with Army veteran Michael Williams, who was abused by our Army and has been through some healing recently. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly